Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the sixth and final week of our series called Don't At Me, and this week Pastor Josh explains how our desires will direct our lives. So the best thing we can desire is God. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. How you guys doing? Great. Like, I love listening to you all sing that Waymaker song. I don't know if you catch that or not, but y'all sing that one kind of loud. You know what I mean? And I was sitting up front just listening to you guys a little bit, and I look back, and it's not just you all singing it, but our guys actually in the tech booth, I got one throwing a rock fist during the song, okay? So good. I loved it. I love just seeing guys not just serving, but also worshiping while you were serving. So thankful for you guys, for everybody here. Give a shout out. We've got people watching online right now. I think we've got somebody for the first time watching from Rhode Island with us. And then we also have people at the coffee bar. So thankful for you guys, and if you're a guest with us, thank you for being here. Maybe it's your first time or second time, whatever has brought you here, man, thank you for coming, and I hope that you have just an incredible experience. Just a couple things I want to just let you know about before we dive into the message. This is the last week of this series, and then next week we launch a new series. We'll actually launch it on Wednesday because Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we normally have a Thursday service, so we'll actually have that on Wednesday. If you're the type of person that's going to be heading out of town and you're wanting to catch church, then come on out Wednesday night before you travel, and it'll be a great way to launch a new series that we're calling Waiting on Christmas, all right? And I'll be honest, we're going a little old school with this, and we're going to go a little traditional. On your way in, you started to notice we're starting to put some stained glass out in the lobby and decorating that way. Who knows? Next week, there might be poinsettias and a pulpit up here. I don't know, okay? Actually, we ain't going that old school. But anyway, with the series, we're actually going to be talking about what some people call the Advent, and we're going to look at what does it mean to wait, and to wait on love, and to wait on joy, and to wait on peace, and to wait on hope. And it's truly going to be a series that I'm looking forward to preaching and to communicating. I know it's going to be great on all of our campuses. So definitely want to invite you to come throughout the whole month. Some great stuff. We'll be a part of the Conway Christmas Parade, which means we need a lot of candy. Feel free to bring some this week for that. But that'll be a great family thing. On one of the weekends, we're going to have the kids from Kids Rock actually out in the lobby, and they're going to be singing carols in between services. So that'll be real cute. It'll be a photographic moment. Okay, so you'll want to participate. But it's just going to be a great series. On this campus, make sure you catch this, the weekend of Christmas, the 19th and 21st, will be normal schedule, all right? So we'll have our normal weekend. It'll be a big weekend. We know it'll be slammed, tons of people, which will be awesome. But then on Christmas Eve, we're having three services, 2, 3:30, and 5. And those services will all be candlelight communion. It'll be an epic time, a moment for us all. So definitely encourage you not just to be here, but go invite somebody. Invite somebody to spend December with you. Because this time of year, people are more inclined to go to church than any other time. So take advantage of those invitations and invite somebody to come, because we'd love to have a seat saved for them, all right? So do that. So now with that in mind, let me kind of wrap up this Don't At Me. And with this series, we've been going through the last six commandments that we call the Ten Commandments. And we started that back in August with the first four. And then with this series, we're doing the last six. And today is a perfect time, even if you haven't been here, because what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the Tenth Commandment. And the 10th commandment, what it really does is it helps us, if we'll put it into practice, it will help you actually keep the other nine commandments. that they're very specific in order, because I really believe if we'll actually live this one out in the proper way, then it will help us not fall short of the other nine commandments. And the 10th commandment is this: do not covet. Now let me talk about that word covet for a second, because it's honestly a word I never use. Chances are you're just like me. The only time I say covet is if I'm preaching about the 10th commandment, all right? I've never once looked at any of my children and said, do you realize you're coveting right now? And chances are you're just like me. You've never said that. I've never looked at them and said, now don't covet your friend's stuff, right? Now, I have looked at them many times and said, you are being extremely greedy right now, right? I've looked at them and said, I can tell you really desire to go and get that. That's what coveting means. If I could boil it down to one word, I'd say desire. That is something that we desire. And we're going into a season where all we do is desire things, right? Like Thursday, you're going to belly up to your table and you're going to desire all the food in front of you. All right, it might be the sweet potatoes, it might be the broccoli casserole, it might be the stuffing, it might be the whipped cream that you get to eat with a little bit of your pumpkin pie. That's me, little pumpkin pie, whole lot of whipped cream, you know what I mean? But we'll desire that, and then it doesn't get any better, because as soon as you get done eating, your next desire will be like, where can I get a nap in, right? Like, I just want a nap. I desire a nap. So that you can then go out at night and fight the crowds and go ballistic trying to find the best Black Friday deal. You know? And if you think about it, it's the most joyous, loving time of the year, yet we go into the stores and we WrestleMania somebody over that item because we've got to have it. We desire. My wife and I, we go Black Friday shopping every year. We don't buy a thing. We watch people. It's one of the best things to do, all right? Desire. What is it that you actually desire? Because what Jesus said, what God said in the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments, is he said, don't desire, don't covet. Look at what it says. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Don't covet. And again, like I said, you could say desire. Don't desire your neighbor's house. Don't desire your neighbor's wife. And again, I think God put it here in the Old Testament in this form. And he did it for this reason, that he's saying, if we'll learn this, if we'll figure this out, then we'll be able to keep the other commandments. Because this commandment is an internal commandment. Everything else is external. Yet this one's internal. Don't lie. It's an external thing. Don't steal. It's an external thing that you do. Don't murder. It's an external. Don't desire. Don't covet is internal. And think about it this way. That if we quit desiring to be God and we let God be God, we wouldn't break the first commandment. If we quit desiring all this other stuff and putting it above God, then we wouldn't break the second commandment of having other gods before God. If we wouldn't desire maybe your neighbor's house, then maybe you wouldn't steal from them or get angry with them because they have it. If you didn't desire your neighbor's wife, then you wouldn't commit adultery. So again, what God is getting at here is if we will figure out this covet thing, and if we'll quit desiring the wrong things, then we can actually keep all commandments and truly love God and love people. If that's the case, then let me ask a very pointed question. Do you desire God, or do you have selfish desires? Because if you want to keep the 10th commandment and not desire and not covet, then it's going to come down to, are you desiring God or are you having selfish desires? And Jesus, he flipped it and he kind of asked some different questions in the book of Matthew. And if you remember, if you've been here, in the book of Matthew, Jesus preaches a sermon. And in this sermon, he basically takes the 10 commandments and says, now let me help you live them out. And he talks about this idea of desire, of coveting, and he really brings it down to the concept of, well, what are you treasuring in your heart? And what are you seeking with your eyes? And who are you serving with your life? That if you really want to figure out this question, do you desire God or do you have selfish desires, then you can first just answer this question. What does your heart treasure? And for most of us, our hearts treasure success and stuff and self. A lot of times, like, we just want to be successful. I want to be successful in the classroom, or you want to be successful on the athletic field, or you want to be successful in your job. You want to be successful in your life. And oftentimes, we define success by how much stuff do we have. Now, if I'm successful on the athletic field, then I'll have a lot of trophies, or I'll have a lot of accolades. I'll have a lot of stuff that way. If I'm successful in my job, then I'll have a lot of money so I can go buy a lot of stuff. And the more stuff I have will show people that I'm actually more successful. And if I get the right amount of stuff, then it'll help me feel really good about myself. You see how it just snowballs itself? That success leads to stuff, and stuff leads to feeling good about yourself. At least that's what we'll think. But in reality, that's not what happens. There was a thing that went on Twitter last week. It kind of just went viral. It was a testimony that Nick Foles was giving. All right. If you don't know Nick, he's a quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he got traded there. Everybody thought he was going to be the bright, shining light. He was going to be the quarterback, going to make everything happen. And he got hurt at the beginning of the season. And for the first 8 games of the season, he's been basically on IR. And last week he got to play, so they were talking to him. They said, do you feel like this year has been a failure? Have your dreams been shattered? What's going on? And he goes, well, first and foremost, that my life is not defined by football. That as successful as I am in the football field doesn't really matter in my life, because I have found my significance in Christ alone, all right? And he goes on to a long testimony, and I encourage you, just Google it. Yeah, it's great. Google it. It's worth your watch. It's like 2-3 minutes, all right? But I want you to see the difference between Nick Foles and Tom Brady, all right? Now, Tom Brady is a much better quarterback than Nick Foles. If you know me, it hurts my heart to say that, okay? Like you know me and my love for the Patriots. Like it hurts my heart to say that Tom Brady is a better quarterback. But he is. Let's just admit it. He's great, okay, at being a quarterback, all right? And I'm not picking on Tom Brady, but I will quote his own words. That after his third Super Bowl win, he was quoted as saying, God, there has to be something more than this. He said, I still haven't found success and happiness in life, right? Now, most of us would look at Tom Brady and say, now there's one successful dude. From a football field, you look at his wife, you look at his life, everything just looks like success. Yet, according to his words, he wasn't able to find happiness. He wasn't able to find the significance there. Yet, Nick Foles, on the exact opposite end, is saying, my life couldn't be any better, even though I haven't played a down of football this year. And the reason why is, I believe, is that Nick Foles realizes that his treasure is not here on earth, but it is in heaven, which is what Jesus said. Jesus said, store up your treasures in the right place. Look at what it says here in the book of Matthew. This is a biography written about Jesus. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So wherever your treasure is. So if you want to find out what do you treasure in your heart, then ask yourself this question. Well, where do my treasures lie? Do my treasures actually lie on earth? Because if they lie on earth, eventually they're going to fall apart. Everything we have on this earth eventually will fall apart. All of us who are getting older will amen to that. Because we all recognize it, all right? There's nothing on earth that is going to last outside of God and people. And when I mean people, I mean our souls. That the only thing that we have guaranteed that is going to last for all of eternity is God and our souls. God is going to last. And we as people are going to last for all of eternity. And you will either be with God for eternal life or you'll be separated from God. That's the reason I would say this, that we can look and see what our hearts treasure by finding out where our hearts lie, where our treasures lie. And do the treasures of your heart lie in earth or in the eternity? And if you can figure that out, well, then you'll be able to answer the question, do I desire God or do I have selfish desires? There's another way to answer that question of do you desire God or do you have selfish desires? And it's not just to look at your heart, but also to look at your eyes and say, what do your eyes seek? If you want to know whether or not you have godly desires or selfish desires, then you can simply ask yourself the question, what do my eyes seek? And Jesus said this about our eyes. He said, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if we were to all confess, most of us have unhealthy eyes. That if you go back to the Exodus passage, we have a habit of looking at things that don't belong to us and that causes us to have unhealthy desires. That you look at somebody's vehicle and you're like, I want their vehicle. That you look at somebody's stuff and you're like, I want their stuff. That you'll be on social media. This happens a lot. That you'll be on social media, maybe just wasting some time, and you'll be flipping through and you'll be seeing everything that everybody's posting. And you'll be like, man, I am jealous of this person's life. I am jealous of this person's success, of their stuff. And you'll start longing with your eyes to have what they have because you're seeing something and you're making yourself unhealthy. That's practical, all right? Let's just talk physical for a second. That I have unhealthy eyes. That something happened when I turned 40, which was just a few weeks ago. Forget that sermon about lying. Anyway, I remember I woke up one morning. I'm trying to read my Bible before I had these. And I'm just like, man, I can't see it. Like, it's taking me a long time to wake up. And I had a doctor friend who was at our church. And I went up to him. I said, Doc, I said, man, I'm trying to read my Bible in the morning. And it's all fuzzy. Like, what's wrong? He goes, you're getting old. I was like, shut your mouth. Sure enough, though, I went in and I saw him, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's part of age, dude. You need some glasses. You got to get something that you can read with. And so I got some glasses, and the benefit of these glasses is when I put them on, I can read. Now, reality is, without them, I can see fine looking out. Like, I can focus fine looking out. But my problem is my phone or a Bible or a book is constantly in front of me, so I'm always having to read. So I didn't want to have to put reading glasses on all the time just so I could read. So I got glasses that are technically called progressive lenses. Some of you understand it because you're old, okay? But here's the beauty about these lenses. They fix my eyes, all right? Or more so, I shouldn't say they fix my eyes. They fix my focus. And because of the type of lenses they are, that I can look out and I can see everybody just fine with no problem. Yet at the same time, I can look down and I can read with no problem. Anytime I have these on, my focus is fixed constantly. Now the difference is when I first got them and I put them on, I was just like, whoa. I haven't looked like that since my non-Christian days. Some of you are getting it, okay? But you know what I mean? Like, I put them on, and it's like, I can't. And Doc's like, give it time. Start learning how to look through the lenses. And sure enough, over time, I was like, I got it. And now I can see with these on in perfect focus at all times. That's what Christ can do for your life. That if you'll put on the eyes of Christ, and you allow your gaze to be seen through him, and you fix your eyes on what he sees, then what you see can be in focus at all times. Now, I'll be honest. When you first put Christ on, and you first invite him into your life, it's not something that's real easy, all right? When you first put on Christ, you'll be like, all right, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to learn a new way to walk. But once you start to seek the things that he seeks and look through his eyes, then things will come into focus. And when I say things, what matters will come into focus. And what matters to Christ was a twofold thing that he sought at all times. That Jesus sought the kingdom and Jesus sought people. That if you want to have the eyes of Christ, you will seek the kingdom, you will seek God because God matters, and you will seek the lost because people matter. And we need to have the eyes of Christ because that's what really matters in life. Look at what he said. Going on, same verse. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Meaning, seek God because he matters. And then the next verse, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That Jesus came to this earth to seek people who were far from God. And he lived his life with people who were far from God. And he went to the cross to save people who are far from God. Which means he came to this earth and he went to the cross for each and every one of us, and myself included. And he showed us how to live by seeking God and by seeking the lost. So again, let me ask you this question. Do you desire God or have selfish desires? Well, what do your eyes seek? Do they seek self, or do they seek the things that God seeks? But then there's one last one that I got to ask as we move into a time of response. Is I got to ask this question. Who does your life serve? Because if I'm trying to decide, do I desire God or do I have selfish desires, then I got to also ask the question, well, who does my life serve? Because it is about, you know, what does my heart treasure? And it's about, well, what do my eyes seek? But it's also about who does my life serve? Because who you serve will show you what you desire. Look at what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 6. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. I think on that last verse there, that you could just put it blank. Because I think Jesus could have said it, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to blank. Be enslaved to money. Be enslaved to self. Be enslaved to success. Be enslaved to drugs. Be enslaved to whatever. You can't. You can't serve both. Because you can only serve one. And the one you serve will direct your life. The one you serve will direct your life. Think back to that story that Hannah mentioned earlier, the story about Mary, about how Mary took a bottle of perfume and she anointed the feet of Jesus. And as she was anointing the feet of Jesus and anointing his head, she was pouring out her life on him. She was worshiping him. She was saying that I want to serve you. That I desire you, that I want to seek you, that I want to treasure you. What she was saying is the desires of my heart, the desires of my eyes, the desires of my life, I want them to go towards you because that will direct my life. Yet there was another guy in the room who was the exact opposite. His name was Judas. And Judas' desires were away from God because his heart treasured things of this earth. Because his eyes sought the things of this earth. Because his life served the things of this earth. Because Judas was all about money. And Judas was all about stuff. And Judas was all about himself. So as Mary was pouring out her worship on the feet of Jesus and and anointing his head, Judas was standing off to the side. He's going, oh, time out. That money could have been used to give to the poor. Yet we see the very next verse says, actually, he didn't want to give it to the poor. He wanted to put it in his own pocket. You can look at Judas, and you can look at Mary, and you can see these two things being lived out. You can see their desires being lived out. That Judas's desire was for money, for success, for himself, for setting up a political system that totally served himself. And the desires of his heart directed his life right to the grave, where he ran off alone and isolated and was separated from God. Yet Mary, the desires of her life, the desires of her eyes, the desires of her heart were directed totally towards Christ. And her desires directed her life. And she worshiped. So let me ask that question again. Do you desire God? Or do you have selfish desires? Because your desires will direct your life. So we're gonna sing this song again. And as you're singing this song, I want you to think about that story of Mary. I want you to think about that story of Judas. And I want you to decide while you're singing this song, are you more like Mary or are you more like Judas? I want you to think during this song, are my eyes set on the things that Judas's eyes are set on? Is my heart treasuring the things that Judas treasured? Is my life serving what Judas served? Or are you more like Mary, whose heart treasured Jesus Christ, whose eyes sought Jesus Christ, whose life served Jesus Christ? And if we will be more like Mary, we will find ourselves living out this life of just simply desiring God. And if we truly desire God, then we'll not just desire Him, but we'll desire the things that He desired. And what He desired was for people to come to know who He was. And that's the challenge I have for each and every one of us. So do me a favor, let's go ahead and stand up. And during this time of response, if you want to take communion, you can take communion. If you want to go over to the prayer corner and just spend some time praying, I invite you to do that. We have some prayer counselors that will be over there if you need to talk to somebody. That if you need to come to the Connect Corner, I'll be there with some of our other prayer counselors. And if you want to talk to somebody there, maybe today you'd have to admit this. Just go ahead and confess it, that I have only been living for myself, but today is the day that I totally surrender my life to Jesus Christ and I invite Him to be my Savior. And maybe that's what you need to do. And if that's you, come to the Connect Corner. I would love to pray with you about accepting Christ and responding to Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe today it's to get baptized. We saw a family earlier today, a dad and two sons, give their lives to Christ that way and follow Him in baptism. Let's not rush out. Let's go to the feet of Jesus. And let's pour out our lives on Him and make Him our one desire. Pray with me. Jesus, You're it. You are what matters. And Jesus, I pray during this time of response that our hearts will treasure You, that our eyes will seek You, that our lives will serve You, and that we will desire You far more than we desire ourselves. God, help us to respond and to do something with what we've discovered today. In Your name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like information on how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.